This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
But Anthony, this burrito bowl is going to take me the entire show to eat, because I swear, we have the world's smallest forks in this place.
The Hoffman Show.
Like, I just got one of the little plastic forks out of the kitchen. Like, how am I supposed to eat a burrito bowl with this?
You can't.
Well, now you can.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
2 Chainz, you got 2 Chainz. I need 2 forks.
Yes, sir.
I feel good. What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you see with us for basically the entire show today. Yeah. Christy Winter Scott is here because it is WNBA draft day,
yes,
Christy.
It is. And everybody watches women's sports. That's all I have to say about that.
But I almost wore that shirt.
You did?
Of course. I thought about it. Spinning. I was like, nah, I'm not going to be that
come
classic.
On.
Like,
come on.
It's the best. I wear it a lot.
Twinning. I love it.
I love it. Did you wake up with that excited feeling this morning of just like, oh my God, it's draft day?
Actually, yesterday a little bit, you know, as soon as the NBA season, the regular season anyway, concluded.
What a finish, by the way.
How about that?
We got something with our show. There's something about our show that is magical, and I don't understand why every athlete in the DMV doesn't want to be on our show.
Yeah.
When spirit players come on, they score goals. Bob Carrington was on Thursday with us. And then he hits the game winner.
Ooh.
I'm just
next
saying.
For me then. Listen.
What do you want, Christy?
Oh, a trip to Paris. So spring in Paris. My birthday's next month. Somebody out there is going to
bon
make
voyage.
That come true. The magic wand.
Bon voyage. Let's go. Anthony's going to Paris this summer. Maybe he'll.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, we didn't even know that. Synergy.
There we go.
There it is. That's confirmation. We're going to get it done.
So we are live here at the construction site that is known as Capital One Arena, which I say, they did not waste any time getting started. The renovations look amazing, like on paper,
can't
what
wait.
They're going to do to this place. And they have already started doing what they can behind the scenes. Obviously, we're hoping the Capitals are still playing here for another couple of months.
I know.
But I did wake up this morning with a genuine and excitement about this draft, and like, I don't know, I now feel like I'm on the verge of a little bit of a letdown, because there have been all these rumors all offseason, you know, WNBA offseason, all college season long about Paige Beckers and whether or not she wants to go to Dallas. And here we are on the verge of the draft. And, you know, maybe Kurt Miller has assuaged some of those concerns. And it seems like, you know, getting one of the most respectable people in the entire sport to come run your franchise perhaps might wind up with Paige in Dallas. Or it is 4:06 p.m. right now.
Yeah,
we are in for some kind of absolute Woj is in retirement. Whoever drops bomb, Shams bombs, Alexa Philippou, at ESPN bombs,
Alexa bombs.
Ben Pickman at Athletic, whoever wants to do it, drop that bomb.
Yeah.
But either way, the Mystics Snyder could come out with one of the best players in this draft if they were to make that kind of a move, or three exceptional players that are going to be available at 3, 4, and 6.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Paige Beckers is Paige Beckers, right? I mean, she's one of those generational two-way players who can create on the spot. You don't need for her to be able to be told to do something. I heard Gino Auriemma on the Good Morning America interview with Robin Roberts, and he said, you know, you have to trust these elite level players because they're going to take chances, right? And he said you have to trust that all those chances are winning plays, and he was referring to Paige. So I just thought that was really intriguing, the way that he unpacked that. But for Paige Bueckers, I just think she's going to be amazing wherever she goes, however it ends up. But for the Mystics, I think these are three huge picks that they are going to establish themselves with in the first round at 3, at 4, and 6. I mean, there are so many things that you can do with those puzzle pieces and to what you already have here. You saw Carly Samuelson being traded probably about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And so they've got some moves that they're already making.
For sure. And I think there's going to be more potentially moves tonight.
Yes.
I think in about, what are we, at 4:08 here? Let's say in 7 minutes at 4:15. We'll take a wide view of this draft and kind of let everybody know where everything is. Christy just mentioned a move that the Mystics have already made today. Yeah. Carly Samuelson. And we can talk about this move real quick because I think it's pretty interesting. Like, and a heck of a job by the Mystics, and very much in kind of the Michael Winger monumental basketball kind of mode of, I remember doing my research on Carly for Media Day last year and learning more about her story. Carly Samuelson, sister of Kalu Samuelson, a UConn great that's still in the league. Carly, I think last year was her 14th different contract.
Yeah.
She had never signed for more than 1 year at a time. She had been an injury replacement player. She had signed deals in Europe. But for a WNBA contract, this is a player that had never signed for more than 1 year.
Right.
Less than a year later, here we are on draft night, and they are trading her for a future first-round pick because she has played her way, and the Mystics gave her that chance, and she took it to become that caliber of player, that a contender, that the Minnesota Lynx, the team that was right there to win a title last year, maybe a couple close calls away, maybe. Liberty were great. They deserve it. But that, just that close to a title is like, we're willing to give a first round pick for her. And like, I think it's important to remember to some extent that this is, while the W I think will flip faster, the Mystics will flip faster than say the Wizards by the nature of the league and a bunch of other things.
Right.
This is a multi-step process and, you know, getting assets and value and all those kinds of things is really important.
Right. And Carly, I mean, she was so good as a plug and play player.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about on the defensive end because we knew what we were going to get from her on the defensive side. I mean, I think she led the team in charges taken last summer. But offensively, I mean, she was just a pressure relief for a lot of players in terms of her ability to space the floor with her triples, but also attack closeouts. So I just think, you know, that again shows her value, like you said, for the Minnesota Lynx to trade her for a future first round pick. And, you know, I think it's going to be excellent for her stability in the league. Right. To have that kind of move made for her. And that's going to be a bonus and an asset for her individually as a pro.
And now Mystics have not only the 3 first round picks this year. They got 3 next year, if my count's correct.
That's
because
correct.
They got Chicago.
Yep.
They got the Chicago's pick this year and next year as part of the Ariel Atkins trade.
Yes.
They now have Minnesota's first round pick. And of course, they still have their own natural first round selection.
Yes.
But, you know, we've been talking about the NFL draft, as you'd imagine, on the show a lot. This is the latest in the NFL draft process in decades that every single team has their own first-round pick. Every single team has exactly 1 first-round pick, and it is their own. That is not the case in tonight's draft. We're going to set the stage for you next on the WNBA draft and how this thing is lining up tonight and why it is definitely prime for more movement. Christy's going to be with us for most of the show today. Again, of course, Mystics analyst on TV on Monumental Sports, as well as she calls college basketball for ESPN and others all year long. So she is super locked into all the prospects, what the Mystics need, league-wide picture. So we couldn't have anybody better than the Terps legend, Christy Winterscott, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So we'll set the stakes for you tonight next here on the Team 980.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're here on the Team 980, live on YouTube as well, at the Team 980. Christy Winter Scott with us here at Capital One Arena, where tonight the Mystics will have three picks in the first round, as scheduled right now. We'll see how things go tonight, because it is a wild WNBA draft potentially tonight, Christy.
Yeah.
Not only do you have the Mystics with three picks, there's two other teams in the first round that have multiple first-round picks. You have the Golden State Valkyrie ready to make their first ever pick. We had a trade earlier today. Multiple trades, I should say, over the last 24 hours. Last night, the Lynx traded to Chicago, got the 11th pick, or Chicago, I should say, got the 11th pick in this draft. So here's how the draft order sets up as of now. And then I'll just rattle off the first round.
Okay.
And then we can react to some of this.
Okay.
Dallas currently has the first pick, Dallas Wings, after kind of a, I wouldn't say Hail Mary, but they unexpectedly won the draft lottery. We'll put it that way. The Seattle Storm have the second pick. That initially belonged to the LA Sparks. That was traded as part of the Kelsey Plum switcheroo that also obviously involved the Las Vegas Aces. Also worth saying at this point, even though there are now 13 teams in the WNBA, there are 12 picks in the first round tonight because the Aces received punishments for something involving Dierick Hamby a couple years ago. I think it was phrases like impermissible benefits, but also it was like workplace discrimination. The Aces don't have their pick.
They don't have
So the Seattle Storm, they have formerly the Sparks pick at 2.
Yes.
The Mystics have 3 and 4. The Valkyrie get the first pick as an expansion team that's outside the draft lottery, so they have the 5th pick in this draft. That's the way the WNBA does it. Mystics are again at 6. The Connecticut Sun have 7 and 8. The Sparks now have 9. That was originally Seattle's pick.
Mm-hmm.
The Sky have 10 and 11.
Right.
The Dallas Wings have 12. The Aces have the first pick of the second round, 13, which is kind of funny because they're one of the best teams. They wind up having the 13th overall pick anyway, even though they didn't win the title last year.
Right.
So that is the first 13 picks of the draft. And it's also worth mentioning, just on a big picture real quick, Christy, and then I want to talk about kind of how this goes, is that because of how few teams and how few roster spots there are in the WNBA, typically the first round picks make the team, although that's not even guaranteed.
That, I was going to say, that's not a given.
And last year, just 3 other players drafted outside of the first round, including probably most famously Kate Martin with the Aces, who then got drafted in the expansion draft to the Valkyrie, wound up making the team.
Yeah.
So that is how this sets up. What sticks out to you outside of Washington having 3 of the top 6?
Well, you're looking at the players who are available, right? And the draft is so intriguing because you're looking at not only who are the best players, but which players are the best fit for our organization and team. So I think that's with all drafts. But I think, you know, it's not that players get shunned or, you know, burned for not being selected first, second, third, fourth. It's not because you're not a great player. You are an elite player. You're invited to New York. You know, we saw the
16
pictures.
Players invited to New York.
Right.
A lot.
We saw all of them, right? So all of them are elite level, okay?
Yeah.
And all of them are respected. So sometimes it's like, oh, my gosh, you shouldn't have gone 7th. I'm like, well, maybe that's what that team needed, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they wanted a different player that was chosen ahead. So it's really a lot going on for GMs right now. And I know more teams are coming in. It's going to make it even more complicated. But I think when you're looking at the entire draft as a whole, and yes, Paige Becker's going number one, but I think one of the most intriguing players in this year's draft, to me, in my opinion, is Dominique Malunga.
Malunga. That's where I'm going with. I hope Kathy Engelbert says it correctly tonight.
I know.
And then she can have her moment, and then we can all get it correctly.
Malunga. I have not heard her say it, which is the key for, you know, when they come in.
Born in Cameroon, grew up in France.
Yeah.
19 years old. So
6'6". She can dunk it. Drop step dunk. Okay, so she's a power hopper. You know, they compare her game to Wimby, you know, and I think that Victor Wembanyama. So I think that, you know, she could be a game changer in the league at 19 years of age, 6'6". I think that she can, you know, her wingspan, I think, is like the longest in the history of
the draft.
Yeah, which is nuts because we know Breanna Stewart has a 7'1 wingspan. So just to be in that mention is pretty incredible. But I think when you're looking at players like that, and then you're looking at, I know you said not necessarily discussing the Mystics, but Sonia Citron, right? I think is a player who is intriguing to a lot of people, and she could plug a lot of holes in terms of what she can do defensively. And not just to her ability to stretch the floor on the offensive end from Notre Dame. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So if we look at this draft in terms of the player side of it in tiers, right?
Okay.
Seems like to me the consensus is Beckers is going to go first, but it's really her and Malunga as the top tier. That there are GMs, coaches, etc. around the WNBA that genuinely think she could be the best player in this draft, acknowledging how great Paige Beckers is and is likely to be in the WNBA. So you have that tier of two.
Right.
How many players do you think are in the next tier? Because that's where the Mystics are fishing, for lack of a better term, right?
Got it.
So you have Kiki Iriafen.
Right.
You have
Cheyenne Sellers.
You have Cheyenne Sellers out of Maryland. You have Sonia Citron. Yeah. Anissa Morrow.
Anissa
Morrow. Would you put her there? And then there, it kind of feels like there is then maybe kind of a beauty in the eye of the beholder of if there's anybody else in that tier, or is Sellers to you like the last player there that, that kind of belongs in that bucket before you have another drop off potentially?
Well, I think Rivers could be in that mention as well. I mean, she started her career for Dawn Staley at South Carolina and ended up transferring NC State. I think she's another player, again, with, you know, this length on the perimeter. She could be classified as a wing, but I think she's a positionless kind of player. I think she could come into the WNBA and really make a splash because of how well she defends multiple levels of the floor, but also how she could also be one of those plug-and-play players that really can be disruptive on the defensive side. So, I mean, I think her offense still has some work in terms of her ability to get downhill and finish. I mean, she has explosiveness, but I think she's got to balance out, you know, a little bit more of her offensive skill set. But her defense, I mean, she's a stalwart on the defensive side.
For sure. And I think she had such an interesting year coming off that knee injury, too, because what is she capable of? Like a second year removed from a serious knee injury, you're just a different caliber athlete. And I think we saw in the tournament her kind of start to turn up a little bit. The other player that I'm seeing, and I don't know what kind of file you have on her in some of the mock drafts. Like I got one from CBS Sports. I'm just trying to pull up a couple, see like who else is in that six range or that top six. And I, talk about pronunciations. I'm so sorry to this young woman. Justa Joiste, guard out of Lithuania.
Saw that.
Here she's mocked 5 to Golden State. Do we have a file on her in terms of what you know of her?
Yeah, I did a crash course of
the
studying of the
and
I missed on the pronunciations. However, I think that she could be a key piece because of how well she shoots the basketball. I think she can stretch the floor. I mean, a lot of basketball, not just WNBA or NBA even, is skewing towards the analytics of letting the three ball go. She's one of the players who can do that very well. And when you're looking at who you need and how you can develop your team, I think with her international experience, that is also a plus. So I think that could be something that people can hold their or give the keys to her and do those things.
For sure. So I think she's like, you talk about what each team needs and like where these teams are, the risk tolerance. If you're Golden State.
Risk tolerance. I like that.
If you're Golden State, I think there's probably two different pulling temptations, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to make your imprint on the league. You're trying to probably sell some tickets.
Right.
Although maybe not, because they have like 10,000 season tickets sold?
Yeah, I think even more than that now.
So like, maybe you don't care about tickets because you already got it and you're like, hey, everyone's bought in. We're going to be bad this year and we're okay with that because, you know, the expansion draft and, you know, they were hoping to make a splash in free agency. I think a lot of people thought they really, really wanted Kelsey Plum and that did not wind up happening.
Yeah.
So they wanted a signature star to build around. So at that point, you just say like, and again, my Lithuanian is not up to date, but Joyce Stay is what we're going to go with. Like, she's 19. She's raw. We saw, for instance, Jay Melvin last year, youngest player in the league.
Yeah.
Amazing flashes.
Yes.
Clearly at times over her skis because she was 18 years old playing in the WNBA. And that's really hard.
Yeah.
These are the best 144 players in the world. So if you're willing to take your lumps for the long-term investment versus Haley Van Lith, I know what she is right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the pull if you're, say, Golden State. And even to an extent, a team like Washington, like, obviously the Mystics want to continually improve. They want their players to go compete. But in the same way that we've seen with the Wizards this year, there's a bigger, longer-term picture, and getting the most high-end talent in the building might ultimately be the play.
Right. I've seen Haley Van Lith around the 10-11 spot.
Yeah.
I
saw her as high as 6-1. That made me go, whoa. That feels high. I think it's probably closer to that 10 range, but like, if I'm Golden
not
State,
in a mean way, but
yeah. If I'm Golden State and I want an older player who I know what they are, lower ceiling but higher floor,
right?
I feel like I can make the argument.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at Joyce Day,
I'm going to go with Joyce Day.
Joyce Day.
I'm not correct, so don't look at me like I'm going to correct. Whatever you want to go, Christy. You're Lithuanian as good as mine.
Oh, not so great. But Joyce Day. I'm going to say, you know, even with her young age, you know, we've seen this with, you know, Bilal Coulibaly, right? We've seen it with these international players. Their age is just a number when it comes to a piece of paper. And how old are they? 20.
Yeah, okay. Birth certificate. Got
19.
It. It was X amount of years
ago. Sure.
She's been playing pro ball since she was 14.
Right. But you're playing against these grown women for a long time. So 5 years playing against grown women in the Euro leagues and all across Europe. I mean, that is not for nothing. Okay. So the experience that she has gained from that and to carry that into the WNBA, I mean, I think that's going to be something to watch for. And like you said, an incredible upside for her.
One other play I want to ask you about in this range, and then I do want to circle back to Iria Fenn and Citroen as the most likely Mystics out of this draft, according to all of the mock drafts. And we will talk a little Wizards, put it like a bow on the Wizards season a little bit later with Christy as well. But Anissa Morrow going into the season was top three projected for most. I don't think as many people have Maluanga on their radar yet, so that was certainly part of it. But it was kind of Paige, Iria Fenn, and Morrow. Now most people have her 5 at the highest, maybe some far as like 8, 9. What happened in Anissa Morrow's season, and where are you on her as a prospect?
Well, first of all, I love her. When she was at DePaul, when she was at DePaul, she was a double-double machine. I mean, she was a dominating force on the inside, 20 and 12 every night. And I don't care if you put 3-4 people on her. She's going to come up with that. She got to the line at least 8 to 10 times a game because she was a powerhouse. And she's drawing a crowd, and she's going to get through that. At LSU the last 2 years, you know, last year, not this past season, but the previous season when she was playing alongside of Angel Reese, they were really dynamic together, right? You're looking at two just powerhouse rebounders, if for nothing else. But then her ability to score the ball inside too. She's been able to stretch her range out this past year, and I think that's been something that has been necessary for her in that mid-range to get those shots to go at the nail. And she displayed that this season. So I don't think it's anything that kind of happened to her. I think it kind of happened to the list of players available.
Yeah.
And Maluanga, right?
Yeah.
Being, you know, a player that people are learning more about at 6'6" with international experience, the ability to stretch the floor. I mean, I think she's a Lisa Leslie with a consistent 3-point shot. I know Lisa Leslie shot threes, but it's a different volume of threes that she's going to be able to take and make at this level. So, I mean, that's what I see in her. But I think for Morrow, I mean, that's no disrespect to what she did this past season at LSU. I just think there's more
discovery.
She's still
averaged 18, 13 and a half. Like,
come on.
These numbers are crazy good.
That's nuts. And she drew defense that was supposed to take that away from her.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's always going to be something that's impressive to me. Like, for Caitlin Clark to average 27 and a half points all 4 years. So the first year, I was like, okay, freshman year, you're going to come in firing that thing. Sophomore year, she was still able to do that with all these different defensive schemes. And even with the fever, she was able to get that short roll, yeah. You know, and figure it out. They're forcing her left.
It took her 2 weeks?
It took her 2 weeks. And then she was right back clicking. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that just speaks to the basketball acumen of these young women coming into the league last year, this year, and for the years past as well. But they're ready for the moment. And I think Anissa Morrow, if she goes second or fifth, I think she's going to make an impact in the league because of what she can do well in spite of what opponents are going to try to take away from her.
That's also something you mentioned, the impact Caitlin had. I want to talk to you about Paige through that lens a little bit later in the show as well. So we got a long list of topics, which is nice because we got Christy for the whole show today. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Christy Winters Scott alongside, of course, Monumental Sports, ESPN, Big Ten Network.
Yes.
Make sure I get the resume all right here.
Oh my gosh, I did a lot of different things this year, but all of those, yes. And then CBS, Fox, TNT to
all of
go
it.
Along with it.
Did you do anything with Unrivaled?
I did not.
Okay.
But I was at TNT. I was with TNT during that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
you got to get it. I heard they pay well.
Easy, that was. You said it, not me. But I do like a good red bottom.
What do I need to do to get Unrivaled's payroll next year? Paige Beckers this weekend, by the way, signed a 3-year deal with Unrivaled. She had an NIL deal with them last year. She signed up to play this coming year. Her single year, first year salary will equal more than her entire 4-year total in her WNBA rookie contract. Hopefully for the league, that changes with the new CBA coming next year, which is something else we need. It's on the list of topics of like how this draft is totally shaped by the WNBA CBA expiring after this year and the negotiations that are going to come that are going to change the entire league. But as for tonight, Christy, the two players that are most commonly mocked at 3 and 4 for the Mystics are Kiki Arie-Fenn out of USC, formerly of Stanford, and Sonia Citrone from Notre Dame.
Right.
Let's start with Arie-Fenn. Why is she, I think, most widely considered the it's her or Citrone, so take your pick. But I think by most prognosticators, she's the third best player in this draft. Why?
Yeah, well, it's because she can dominate in a lot of different ways, right? I think if you're looking at what Kiki did at USC, alongside Juju Watkins, at the two player options that they had when they were both positioned on the same side of the floor, I had a bunch of their games this year, and I will say this. Sometimes when you're playing with a player, and this is no shade whatsoever, I'm just saying it like I see it with basketball eyes, okay? You're playing with a player who's averaging almost 30 a game, okay, 25 a game or whatever, and not that, you know, they were done and those points were garnered in a selfish manner. They were not, right? They were within the flow of the game.
Yeah.
She's a tough kid, but so is Kiki.
Yeah.
And I just thought there were some times where, you know, it's just like, go. You know, like you can, like there was so much more that she could show on the court to be a threat on the interior, to also give some relief to Juju with the coverages that she was seeing defensively, much like we were talking about, like with Caitlin Clark seeing a lot of defensive schemes in pick and roll coverages. But she is so great at diving off of pick and roll situations in two player actions. That's what the WNBA is made up of, right? Same with the NBA, right? A lot of ISO two player actions, can ghost it, which is fake, like you're going to set the screen and it slips. She's slip it or pop. Like, she's so good at making proper reads out of screening actions. So I think that will translate well. Her size is great. I think that the short corner area, the dunker spot, soft touch from there, easy money from the foul line.
Which is an even more important part in the W game than it is in the NBA game.
Like, gotta have that.
Players post there. Like, it's called the dunker spot because in the NBA, you stand there, you wait for the bounce pass, you power dribble, and
slide.
You dunk the basketball.
Yeah.
In the W, it's a lot more of like those same avenues are open,
pinch
but
post.
It's, just Yeah. Let's shoot it.
Shoot that thing. But for me, I mean, she's shooting, well, at USC, she was shooting over 63% right at the rim. Right at the rim, okay, and 46% in the mid-range, which is great, right? I mean, so, you know, if you're looking at what she can do as an offensive threat, a lot of different things. I think defensively, you know, they showed a lot of different actions defensively at USC, but I think that's going to be her biggest jump that she'll need to take in the WNBA. But I do think that her offense will definitely translate. I think her ability to get inside on screening actions and the way that she dives just straight to the rack, I think will translate well in the WNBA, especially with the Mystics, if that's who they choose.
So I think the other interesting thing about her is she played with, obviously, the elite player in college basketball.
Yeah.
One of, you know, her, Paige, Juju and Paige, like the two most elite guards in the game, right?
Yeah.
So Kiki plays with Juju last year. It goes very, very well.
Yeah.
She also played with Cameron Brink at Stanford.
She did.
And so I'm almost more interested in how that went, because if I'm looking at it from the Mystics' point of view, they've got Aaliyah, they've got Shakira,
right?
And you would think that Kiki would be on the floor with at least one of them on a pretty regular basis. So how did Cam and Kiki play off of each other, and is that comparable to what, you know, like, Cam could do a lot of different stuff. Aaliyah can do a lot of different stuff. Shakira can do a lot of different stuff. They're all different, but playing too big basketball, like, how could that work for Washington?
Well, I just think, if you, going back to the Stanford roots, if you will, Shanae Agumake, I think that's a comparable player to what Kiki Irifin can do. Schematically, I think you can place her in the same kinds of spaces on the court that Shanae Agumake played, you know, for Tara Vanderveer at Stanford. So, I mean, they all went to Stanford. So, at first, right, before Kiki transferred to USC. But, you know, there's a pattern there of how players play, and I think they're kind of cut from the same cloth in that manner. But going to what you were saying, I think, you know, Cameron Brink was that defensive stopper. I mean, she's a shot blocker.
Yeah.
I mean, Kiki can shot block too. So, but I think when you're looking at what Cameron Brink was able to do as a defender, I think that's why they complemented each other.
So that would be
very
like Shakira's role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Aaliyah's not bad. If Aaliyah can, and Aaliyah's going to get better at this. This is what happens with the young players. Like, if Aaliyah can avoid foul trouble while doing that, she's very, very effective.
Yeah. Well, we saw that Kira's, unrivaled, so.
Yeah. They had a lot of contact going
pretty
unrivaled,
good.
Too.
Yeah. She looked good defensively, though.
She looked
especially
great.
In that one-on-one.
She looked great at everything in that one-on-one. She was killing it. I'm going to just assume that she's not listening right now. I mean, you never know. She
never
might
know.
Be. But I may have snagged an Aaliyah Edwards missed when they put the authentic Unrivaled jerseys up. I may have snagged one that I'm going to have her sign for me at Media Day, which typically you don't do as a media member.
I know.
But Aaliyah came on the show and was like, you're going to root for me at Unrivaled, right? And so I was like, this seems like a fair trade.
Oh, that's a fair trade.
We've already broken the cheering rules on that one. So, you know, what is what it is.
I mean, under the table, it's like,
And I'm going to have her do it, like, on camera. We're gonna capture it. Anthony, you have to capture that for social media of her signing the jersey. Thanks for that. Sonia Citrone's the other player that is getting a lot of looks for the Mystics. Whether it's third or fourth, we'll see. We'll break down Sonia Citrone's game from Notre Dame next on the Hoffman Show. But first, we'll take a look at what's trending. Big NBA news day, as obviously the season has come to an end. The Suns have fired Mike Budenholzer.
Whew, man,
what a nightmare that is. But he's out. It's not his nightmare anymore. It'll be up to the next coach, and it should be an interesting offseason in Phoenix. We'll see if Durant winds up on the block. We know they tried to trade Bradley Beal at the trade deadline, and he said no because he has a no-trade clause. Where have I heard that before? Pelicans make a move as well in their front office. They fired David Griffin, executive who helped build the Cavs championship teams back in the day, executive vice president of basketball. He is out. Apparently, they are eyeing Joe Dumars as their next top executive. That is an interesting choice,
a
blast from the past. And then, of course, Christy and I are talking about the WNBA draft tonight all show long. The Mystics made a move today ahead of that draft, although it involves a pick for the next one, 2026. They get another first rounder. That'll be their third in that draft. They have three tonight. They do that in exchange for Carly Samuelson. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll take a brief respite from the WNBA draft at 5 o'clock, although that's the biggest story of the day. You know, we're kind of like, I don't know, we can see if some NFL thing goes crazy or whatever. Like, you find me the bigger story in sports today. The NBA season, though, did just wrap over the weekend, so with Christy Winter-Scott with us for the show today, we will talk some Wizards coming up at 5 o'clock. Of course, not only the analyst for the Mystics and doing all the college stuff, but she also is calling games and in studio for the Wizards as well. But we were just talking about the two players most likely to wind up in Washington tonight. That sixth pick, mystery box. We'll find out tonight. Three and four, every mock draft pretty much has Kiki Arya-Finn, who we just talked about, and Sonia Citrone in some order, which I always wonder, by the way. How do you decide which one to take first?
Which one do you need the most?
But like, if you got the next pick.
I know. Well,
it really is just like a, I guess it's a politics thing. You do alphabetical order. You do it by age. Like,
no, I think it's, you know, what you need most. And you take that one first, I would say. I know, even if you get the fourth pick right after that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess so. It's like, hey, you were the priority. But then, what? I don't know. I would just tell the players I did alphabetical. I'd find something other than that to tell both of them. That way they feel like they're equal.
Okay.
Yeah. That way it's like, oh, yeah, you were the priority. Well, hey, I'm the fourth pick. So we just decided, because I'm staring at an ESPN mock draft, and Arya-Finn was first in this one, to go with Arya-Finn. So that's why we did our order. Sonia Citrone's fantastic. She could very well be the third pick.
Yeah.
Let's hear the scouting report on Sonia Citrone.
Well, one of your very good friends, Alicia Clark.
I was actually wearing my Alicia Clark jersey earlier today.
Did you really?
Yes, I was wearing the Rebel Edition jersey.
I love. Well, I see a lot of similarities between the two of them.
Sign me up. Where let's go.
Yeah,
I get another AC. Let's do it.
Yeah, offensively, right? I mean, AC led the country in scoring when she was at Middle Tennessee.
I know.
Right?
I was there. That's why we know each other.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
But 28 a game, 29 a game. So the way that she can score the ball, I think, is very similar to Alicia Clark in that way. We know the stalwart of a defender that Alicia Clark is.
Yeah.
Citrone brings that too, but not in the same manner. But at the same time, you're looking at a floor spacer, right? Someone who could be a third or fourth offensive option for any team in the league, but we're talking about D.C. I think she would fit perfectly here. Because of that, she doesn't need the basketball all the time, but when she has it, she's going to be efficient and she's going to be effective with it. Her ability to knock in threes has been really fun to watch over her career, and I think she's been somewhat of a sleeper. And when I say sleeper, I mean you're not going to mention her first when you're talking about Notre Dame. You're going to mention Olivia Miles, Hannah Hidalgo, and then Citrone, right? So it's like she's always been fine with that. As long as she can impact winning. And I think that's what she brings to the table as well. I mean, she's so very surgical and precise with how she can attack and score the ball.
I think it's funny because you're like, how are they considering taking, with the third pick in the draft, someone who's a third choice on her college team? But then you realize that with Miles going back this year and Hidalgo 2 years away, those might be the next two number one picks. I guess Juju's probably going to be number one in 2 years.
Yeah, hopefully she'll be healthy.
You know, Hidalgo's going to be right there. Or Hidalgo could wait all the way until 28, I believe.
She could.
So, like, we're talking about two potential future number one picks that were ahead of her as options. But when I think of AC, the things that really stick out are defensive intensity and tenacity and intelligence.
Yes.
There's no one who knows. It annoys her that other people, and I'm like, Alicia, you're the smartest player in the league. You can't get mad at other people for not being a genius as well. You're like, you're a genius. You realize that, right? And I think that's kind of Citrone's reputation. Maybe not genius level, and certainly it's going to take her some time to adapt to the W, but at the college level, like, someone who knew scouting reports really well, someone who knew her assignments really well, someone who communicated really well on that end.
Agreed.
And I think that is something that if you're not going to be the number one option, your ability to be a star in a role that you're familiar with, I think that's a really, like, that to me is a plus, not like a, oh my God, is she going to be able to take on a bigger role in the W?
Right.
To me, it's like, well, they've got Aaliyah, they've got Shakira, they've got, you know, Kiki or, you know, whoever else they're gonna try to plug in at those guard spots around her.
Right.
And the fact that she already is used to playing without the ball and locking in defensively, doesn't need the ball to get activated.
That part.
Like, that to me is a huge, huge plus. It is part of a long-term plan, especially knowing that there's probably going to be a lot of movement over the next 2 years.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you put a stopwatch on how long you have the basketball in the game, for top level players, it's really not that long. So when you are a great team player and you want to win, you don't care about how many shots you take. You're not counting all the shot attempts or the touches that you get. You get your own touch, number one, by playing good defense. A touch is a deflection. Get that touch and do your work on the glass. That's how you get your own touches. But for Citrone, I just think that she is team first. She is going to be adaptable in that way. She's going to be able to defend many different players on the other side of the floor as well. So a 3-and-D player getting her versatility on the offensive end and her ability to take kind of a backseat to that and be fine with it. But also, like I said, to be able to strike when the iron is hot, and her shot is so quick. The release is crazy. And sometimes, like I said, she got lost. Well, for me, I'm just speaking for myself.
Yeah.
Calling their games. I'm like, oh my God, this kid, like, we're not talking about her enough. She's got 15 points on 6 of 7 shooting or something crazy, right? So it's like her effectiveness is something that I think gets lost in the consistency of her success.
She's someone who, I don't know if she does, well, I guess offensively, right?
Yes.
I don't know if she does anything great. I guess she shoot it, catch and shoot's pretty spectacular. And, you know, we'll see if it can develop and can stay consistent at the speed you have to catch and shoot at the WNBA level.
It's different.
Because those closeouts come that much faster.
They're here.
And you got to be able to be decisive and kind of trust your shot. But assuming that she'll get there, you know, again, if you're going to use Alicia as the comparison, right? Like when she was in school, she was post player and
right.
she could do all that stuff, but she had to learn in the pros, like the spot up shooting, the cutting,
different. Yeah.
And I think that's another thing too, is like, can you play off the ball? And in a weird way, like, I guess my one question about the choice of Citrone at that mm-hmm. point, I think it's the right choice, but if you look long term, who are the creators for the Mystics? Because it becomes, if Iria Fenn is the other pick there, and then it's Citrone, and then you have Aaliyah and Shakira as kind of the two other stars on the team. That is a very – and look, as someone who was a post player yourself, you're like, this sounds perfect. What is your complaint about to be, Craig? This,
like,
this is ideal. But, like, I do wonder who the ball is running through. Who's running the offense? Is it Melbourne? Is a – what, is she now 19, 20 years old?
She's going to be 20 by the time, you know, the
season rolls around. So who then becomes that player who is kind of the perimeter-oriented engineer of the offense?
I mean, could it be an incoming draftee? Because I may label Cheyenne Sellers in that role. I mean, she led Maryland in assist this year. She's multifaceted on the offensive end in terms of her creativity, not only for herself to score the ball, which she can on all three levels, but she's an initiator and she's a playmaker. And I thought that's what Cheyenne Sellers did really well this year for Maryland. She created offense in the quarter court. She had a great eye. Her execution was top level. So, and I know she would be a rookie in that role. And again, things come at you quickly in the WNBA. The coverages are different. Reads have to be quicker. It's not just your speed A to B physically. It's your A to B mental awareness and quickness on decision making. But I would say Brittany Sykes, you know, right now, I mean, I'm not taking the keys away from her as being a creator on the offensive end. And she has a lot of experience with Sydney Johnson with the 3v3.
Yeah.
So they know each other. They know the rhythm and cadence of what reads need to be made. So, and she has experience running the one.
Hey, look, this is a very slim friendly show. You know where we both went to school. You know where we both went to school. So
there you know, you go. Slim friendly Syracuse.
Yes. Yes. So we are all pro Brittany Sykes all the time. It is funny to think that she really did kind of take on that point guard role last year.
And,
I mean, she had obviously battled a ton of injuries, but when she was in there, she really did have the ball in her hands quite a bit, which hadn't necessarily been her jam earlier in her career, where she was playing much more off the ball. But I guess that is something. And by the way, you want to talk about someone that Citrone can learn the nuances of WNBA defense from. That's a heck of a mentor. I guess that probably is. You run a lot of offense through Aaliyah. You run a lot of offense through Slim. Mm-hmm. And then you bring Sellers and Citrone and everybody else along.
Right.
I guess that's the plan. And also it should be mentioned that, like, I think the Mystics are realistic about their championship chances in 2025.
Yes.
They're probably not quite there yet. But I do kind of wonder okay, where does that superstar guard eventually come from? But maybe that ultimately is a 2026 draft pick for the long-term best, you know, let's have a 5 to 7 year window of title contention version of this team.
True indeed. You were talking about Brittany Sykes and the injuries, and I said it was annoying, like it was annoying to my heart and soul because, gosh, man, it was kind of back-to-back with her last year after, the season, at the beginning of the season when they had that slow start. But playmaking ability, I mean, in the positionless world that we're in basketball,
right?
Can you make the proper read? And I think, you know, you don't have to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like in terms of naming positions.
Right.
But can you make the right read? If you're on the court and we're running this set, they take that first option away, and now we have someone else at the top of the key, at the nail extended. Can you reorganize us with 15, 16 on the shot clock and make a play? And I think you have to be able to have that level of flexibility as a coach, right? You have to be able to have that flexibility, go through different actions with different players having to make decisions like that in chaos in terms of the shot clock running down. So I think multiple players are going to need to be able to make those decisions. And for this year, I'm not thinking next year or the year after. Yeah. For this year, I think multiple players need to be able to initiate, not just off the glass and push tempo in the open floor. I'm talking about initiate in the quarter court when the first two actions have been scouted and blown up, taken away. Now, okay, someone else has the ball. We got to get to it. Who can make those plays?
We're just grabbing the entire offense with 7 on the shot clock, and we're just saying, Aaliyah, where do you want the ball? And we're playing one-on-one because we proved it unrivaled. That's the best strategy. Just Aaliyah Edwards one-on-one. Yeah. I asked Sydney that at the intro press. I was like, are you just scrapping your whole offense and just going with this? He's like, 5-on-5 is a little different. I was like, it doesn't have to be.
Not really. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes.
Okay, fine. But we can't ban help defense from happening,
I'm thinking with 15 on the clock, you could still get into a nice little.
I also trust her to make some decisions.
And who can do that? Who will be able to do? And not like one, two, three, four, five. Like, which player do you trust making plays under duress of the shot clock?
And Iria Fenn might have some of that in her game
as well,
offensively, especially that mid-post, pinch-post area. So
she does.
Definitely going to be some interesting things for Sydney Johnson to think about, presuming that those are the picks tonight. Of course, we got a long way to go. We should look at the back half of the first round, too, some potential movement that could happen there with a bunch of teams doubling up on picks. So we'll throw some situations out later of that could happen. Or, who knows, we're now getting closer and closer. We could have some trades that happen.
Before we get off the air at
7 o'clock here. But we're going to switch gears to the Wizards next.
Yeah.
Put a bow on their season for the next half hour here on the Team 980.